The government of Prince Edward Island announced last Thursday that it is moving to allow abortion services on the island for the first time in 30 years. PEI is the only province in Canada that does not offer in-province abortion services. While the government has been partially funding out-of-province abortions in Moncton and Halifax, women will finally be able to receive abortion services without having to travel long distances. This is a historical decision that will affect the lives of hundreds of women in PEI. But a lot of questions remain. Why did PEI politicians suddenly wake up from their 30 years of inaction? How and what is really behind the sudden shift? And what are some of the challenges still facing pro-abortion groups? Before turning to this question, here is Teresa Wright. She was present during Premier McLaughlin's declaration and describes to CKUT the emotion in the room.
It was really, like, electric, is the only way I can describe it. I mean, I had been covering this issue really since I began as a journalist in Prince Edward Island about 9 years ago, and I've talked to a lot of the women who are involved in some of these groups, advocacy groups, the Status of Women, Women's Network. Work PEI, and a lot of those representatives were there for the announcement. And as soon as the premier sort of said the words that abortion services will be made available in PEI, I looked over at these women and they started to cry tears of joy. Some of them started clapping. It was really a very emotional moment for them, and it was really very special to be part of that.
And the reason why people are so excited about this news is because abortion has been the hot potato of PEI politics since the 1970s. Like Teresa says,
in PEI, there is a deep history of religion being tied to politics.
If we look back in time, abortion services were last offered on the island in 1982. What happened then was that anti-abortion groups lobbied hospitals and politicians to close those services, and, well, in the end, they were successful.
But what happened was a pro-life movement emerged in the mid-1970s, and it began lobbying the two hospitals, trying to get them to disband their therapeutic abortion committees. Because at this time, they would elect people to these hospital boards. So what they did was they ensured that pro-life members were elected, and then their pro-life members were able to shape the decisions that were made within the hospital, and one of those decisions was to ensure that abortions weren't performed.
That was Katrina Ackerman speaking. She's a scholar that studied the anti-abortion movement in the 1970s. If you'd like to read her full paper, it's really interesting. Check it out on our blog. Now, if abortion has been an issue in PEI for decades and nothing has been done, why did the premier decide to change this policy now? Everyone I interviewed agreed on this issue.
I think it was the court case. This legal challenge provided the opportunity for the province to change its stance.
The court case was absolutely essential in forcing the government to withdraw its abortion policy.
For a little backup, at the beginning of the year, the pro-abortion group Abortion Now PEI decided to take the province to court on the basis that its abortion policies were unconstitutional.
That was the tipping point, and I think that kind of gave the premier the excuse he needed in terms of finally doing it. But there has been a really big lobby from the people who've been the pro-choice side of things. Oh, for the past 5 years, it has been heating up, and in the last provincial election in 2015, just last spring, it was a major issue during that election campaign. Politicians were facing it on the doorstep, and it was even a major issue during the federal campaign, if you can believe it. Politicians actually, you know, bringing it up themselves, you know, people that were trying to challenge some of the incumbents. And usually politicians try to avoid the issue of abortion. It's a pretty big hot potato politically. So I think it was one of those things where eventually there was going to have to be a decision made. The court case just took it over the edge.
I had the chance to talk with Aunt Wheatley, who is the co-chair of the association that launched the court case. She described to me the struggle of organizing this legal action.
Abortion Access Now PEI formed specifically because we were seeing that we weren't, you know, after 30 years, we hadn't been able to get the policy changed, and we'd tried numerous ways of doing that. And we decided that the only way we were going to get a change was through legal action. So we decided to form a body that would be eligible to do that. So a number of women who had been involved in the movement for years and years got together and formed an incorporation, basically a nonprofit incorporation, and we had the backing of LEAF, the Legal Education Action Fund for Women. That's a national organization. And we had the support of two lawyers from Halifax who were willing to do the work pro bono. I have to say part of me thinks is a little resentful that it took that to change this government's mind, that it didn't change its mind just because it's the right thing to do.
Regardless of the political reasons behind the declaration that abortions will be performed on the island, it is likely to change thousands of women's lives and allow them to have control over their body and make choices about it.
Well, I think for me as a woman in PEI, I feel extremely happy about it, but also very relieved. I have to say for years, I have been involved in this movement and for years answered calls from women who were looking for information about abortion services or who needed help to get off the island to get access to abortion services. And the challenges that they faced were extreme. And many women who didn't have the kind of income they needed to make that trip, women who were dealing with all sorts of other issues in their lives. So the lack of abortion services here just was a real hardship for so many women. So what I feel, I guess, is a real sense of relief that that should not be the case for women in the future as of this year, that won't be something, another challenge that women will have to face.
While the declaration of Premier McLaughlin is an important step for abortion policies on the island, the battle does not stop here. According to Reporter Wright, the powerful pro-life lobby has already started to protest the decision.
We have started hearing from them. I mean, there was immediate reaction from some of the more organized groups, the Right to Life groups. They, of course, had, you know, spokespeople out in front of this right from the beginning. And we've been, you know, at the newspaper, we have a letters to the editor section. We've been getting a steady stream of letters from people. There was a very organized, group of mainly, mainly tied to religious groups, pro-life people who have been very active in terms of trying to keep this service from being on the island, letter writing campaigns, protests, rallies, and even, you know, letter writing to our newspaper. So of course we're hearing from those people.
And the premier also faces opposition from within the caucus. The question really is now, what are some of the remaining challenges concerning the implementation of abortion policies on the island?
Well, I think the challenges are going to be to make sure that it happens within the timeline that has been announced. That is, that there will be a clinic operational by the end of 2016. We will be watching that really closely. And I guess our first step, though, would be to make sure that the people who need to be at the table as the planning rolls out are there. So we would expect to be invited, and groups such as the Advisory Council on the Status of Women should be invited, and people who have experience with planning and operating clinics like this should be involved. So we'll be really trying to make sure that that happens, and watching really closely that everything rolls out within the timeline that they announced.
Other challenges are going to be on the ground, how people from PEI react to these policies and how they decide to implement it.
Well, I think one of the biggest challenges is going to be doctors themselves, because one of the things I heard from a lot of women before this was that, you know, in order to get an abortion off the island and have it paid for by the province, you had to get two doctors' referrals. And a lot of doctors wouldn't give referrals because of their own moral beliefs. And so you had to know which doctors to go to. And it was really, it was, you know, additional barriers for some of these women. So I think that's going to be a big one right there. And then just trying to make sure that to keep the service available in an anonymous way, so that women who are going to seek these services aren't going to be, you know, facing protesters when they're going. And that's something the health minister has said. He wants this in a hospital atmosphere so that it will protect the anonymity of women. And so we're hoping to see that will go forward.
The recent announcement that abortion services will be provided in PEI is historic and a progressive news for women in the province. However, they are still going to have to look out for their rights to be protected in the implementation phase of the policy. If there is one thing to get from the story, is that the women of PEI and their associations organized a successful grassroots movement that overturned sexist policies that, well, nobody really thought that anybody could do.
To undermine the masculine confines, 'cause we don't wanna grind.